So it was a privilege to join you a couple months ago, I believe. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ben. So I serve at Home of Christ 1 in Menlo Park. If you can't understand me, it's not because my English is bad, but because I'm Australian. All right, I'm from Australia. So I grew up in Australia. I grew up in Melbourne all my life. So my wife and I, we recently, a year and a half ago, we came over here to the States to serve at Home of Christ. So if you can't hear me, I'll be able to explain myself later. So if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. So this is the only time I'll allow you guys to use your phone during the sermon. I'm not sure if Pastor Phil allows you to use your phone during the sermons, but today you have an exemption. So Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. So I'll be reading from the ESV version. So this is God's word. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Verse 6, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure." Verse 9, "Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if it not, you can cut it." Comfort them, bring them joy as they come each and every week to worship and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I wonder what's the most insensitive thing that you have ever heard someone say to you or someone say to your friends. A few months ago, my wife, Ruth, she looked me in the eye and she said, "Ben, my love language is physical touch. She loves me giving her hugs. She loves me holding her hands." So she said, "Ben, my love language is physical touch." Then I looked at her and I said, "Well, Ruth, my love language is personal space." All right? My love language is personal space. Now, when I first read the story of Jesus speaking to the crowd, I was thinking, well, Jesus is actually more insensitive than me, right? I mean, let's think about it this morning. A whole bunch of people come to Jesus and they're trying to explain all the deaths that just happened by the hand of Pilate and all the 18 people who died from the Tower of Siloam. And then Jesus, without going to comfort them, he just says, "Well, unless you repent, you will likewise perish, like these Galileans." See, if this was taking place today, in our modern context, we'll come to Jesus and say, "Well, Jesus, did you hear about the typhoon that just swept over Japan, that destroyed so many homes and killed so many people?" Or then we'll say, "Hey, Jesus, did you hear about the gunman in the Midwest that took so many lives in church or in high school?" And then Jesus would say, "Well, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Now, dear brothers and sisters, one of the most asked questions in the Christian life is this: why does suffering happen in this world? Where was God in my pain or suffering? Why didn't God heal my parents of cancer? Why didn't God heal my friends? Why do I suffer so much from anxiety or depression? And what this passage teaches us this morning is that Jesus doesn't avoid the question, but rather, Jesus wants to change our focus on something much more important, which is the condition of our soul. What he basically is saying is this: if you don't get right with God today, you are going to perish. Now, can you imagine if any of you are going through any suffering right now? You didn't get into the college you wanted to. You failed your SAT. You got fired at work. You broke up with your partner. So the first thing you do is you go find Pastor Phil, right? Pastor Phil, broke up with my partner. I'm going through all this pain and suffering. I'm crying, I'm suffering. And then Pastor Phil looks at you and goes, well, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. I mean, it's a funny answer, right? You would hate Phil for years. Phil, why are you so insensitive? But we see what the Lord Jesus says here. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So what on earth is Jesus saying to us this morning? I believe this passage that we read brings us four important points that we need to learn about in the Christian life. So the first point of today's sermon is this. The state of our own soul should always be our first concern. The state of our own soul should always be our first concern. You see, the most common thing in our life is always to talk about the news that is happening around us. Whether it be a sudden death, someone committing suicide, a plane crash, car crash, all this will occupy the minds of us all. It will be the hot topic that everyone's talking about. This is our human nature. We are so ready to talk about what happens to others rather than what happens to ourselves. So I believe what Jesus is telling us this morning is that our first concern, the first and foremost concern, is our own souls. The conditions of our heart should always be our priority. I couldn't agree with this more. Growing up at church as a pastor's kid, I was more concerned about the condition of other people over myself. I was always judging other people for their actions, for their mistakes. That person didn't come to youth group for the right reasons. That person didn't come to young adults for the right reasons. Whilst all the while, I didn't take any concern over the state of my own heart. I didn't care less whether I was right with God or not, whether I was going to youth group, whether I was doing my daily devotions. But dear friends, if we truly are Jesus followers, we will be more concerned with our own heart, our own life, the very sins that we commit. So let us strive as a community to be men and women who first and foremost take concern over the state and the condition of our own souls. Whether or not we are right with God before we start to worry about others. Let us examine ourselves in a mirror before we make judgment on others. Now this being said, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take concern over the suffering of other people. We need to show compassion and pity as Christians. That's our duty. But let us never forget to first look inside our own hearts. Examine our spiritual condition first. You know, I was discipling this youth group member, and all the while as I was discipling him, I was going through Bible reading and talking about his life, he was just more concerned about the condition of other youth members. He was saying, oh, that person doesn't come to youth group for the right reason. That person, he's not a true believer. That person gets up to no good during high school. I asked him, what about your own heart? What about your own, the condition of your own soul? Have you found forgiveness through Christ Jesus? Are you right with God? That's the first point of today's sermon. The state of our own soul should be our first and foremost concern. Second point is this. Jesus shows us this morning the necessity of repentance. Jesus shows us the necessity of repentance. Here's what it means. Repent or perish likewise. The foundation of Christianity is found in Romans 3. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are born into sin. It's in our DNA. And we by nature do not seek God, nor do we want to be friends with God. We do not want God. You know, it's like this. When I was growing up, my parents would always tell me something. Ben, go wash the dishes. Ben, fold your clothes. And I would always reply them this. 我不要理我, right? That's what we say. And that, in our sense, is our relationship with God. 我不要跟随你,我不要听你的. That's by nature. We do not seek God, nor do we want God. This sin we have inherited from Adam and Eve, and has come and taken over our souls. So what was originally once pure and good in the Garden of Eden has now been distorted. Beauty now has turned into lust. Joy has now turned into self-desires. Generosity has now turned into greed. And so we are so depraved from top to bottom that we are actually described in Ephesians as dead in our sins. You see, dear friends, what sin has done, it has darkened our very own minds and our hearts. Therefore, we have no inability, any ability to seek God. Our hearts have become so rebellious. Paul in Romans 7 talks about this. He says, the good I want to do, I do not do. But the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. And he comes to this grand conclusion in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, that wretched man that I am, how sinful that I am. You know, a couple of months ago, my wife and I, we had a joy to visit a place called the Hertz Castle. So how many of you have heard of the Hertz Castle, built by William Randolph Hertz? It's near San Luis Obispo, right? It's a national historic landmark on the central coast of California, around 4 hours' drive from the Bay Area. So it was designed between 1990 and 1947 as a residence for this newspaper magnate, William Randolph Hertz. It's a beautiful place. The site is open to visitors since 1958. Right? This place has beautiful buildings, beautiful sceneries, beautiful and large fruit trees. This place was heavily guarded by security guards, making sure that people wouldn't touch things, people wouldn't steal fruit. Now, let me tell you something. When your heart and your mind is captivated and filled with sin, the whole tour when I was there, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't listen to the tour guide because I was just thinking of this beautiful orange that I saw. I know clearly from all the countless warnings, all the security guards telling me from start to the end not to touch any of the fruit trees. However, my mind just started to wander. I started to ponder how nice this orange would be. I mean, I could testify at that very moment with the Apostle Paul. The good I want to do, I do not do. But the evil that I do not want is what I keep doing. So what happens? In my heart and in my mind, because of sin, there was this war waging on. Do I still want or not? Do I still want and hide from the security guards and eat this beautiful orange? Well, the end result, do not judge, do not keep it on record, I stole an orange. I put it in my pocket until I reached the exit gate. And guess what? It even wasn't the nicest orange I've ever had. It wasn't even that nice. The point of this story is to show how sinful we all are. How sinful I am. All right? Don't judge. I'm sure if you were put in the same situation, you would have stolen more oranges. All right? This indwelling sin in us, and we need to turn away from it. We need to repent of our ways. And repentance means grieving over our sin. Not grieving over the fact that we've been caught or we're being embarrassed or there's consequences involved, but we actually need to be grieving over our sin. Recognizing that we've fallen so short of the glory of God and what God has intended for us in the Garden of Eden. Recognizing that our sinful human condition and how weak we are, and bring it before God. The word conversion is a word that is often associated with repentance. Conversion carries the idea of a change of heart, a change of mindset to the things that we once did. It involves a life change, a new heart, and a heart that is now flowing and a heart that is now longs for God. Not just a behavior change, but a sincere heart change. It's an inward change of the heart, a heart that starts to thirst and love God and hate sin at its roots. Dear friends, I want to remind you this morning, do we really know our sinfulness? Do our sins cause us any sorrow? Have we cried out about our sins and sought forgiveness through Christ Jesus? Have we had a heart change? Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to UC Berkeley to visit some youths who have graduated. And when I walked through the dorms, I was reminded of the life that I used to live when I was in college. All the partying, all the drinking. And I couldn't help but feel so saddened at what my life used to be like. How I was caught up in all of those for a year to 2 years. Just partying and drinking all the time. I was mourning yesterday night and this morning thinking about the things that I've done. Do we mourn over our sins? Not because we've been caught, But do we actually mourn and hate the fact that God has intended us to be good and righteous, but we have destroyed that because of sin? Dear friends, if we have repented in the past, praise God. But I want to remind you this morning to go on repenting daily, to continue to repent until we meet Jesus face to face. There will be always sins to confess. As long as we are in this body, let us remember to repent daily as we continue to die to sin and focus our love for Christ Jesus. Third point is this. If we are given the gift of faith and repentance by God, then God expects us to bear fruit. If we are given the gift of faith and repentance, God expects us to bear fruit. If you have your Bibles, verse 6 to verse 9, let's read this again. The parable of the barren fig tree. So he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should you use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig it around and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, yeah, well and good, but if it not, you can cut it down." You see, in the context here, Jesus draws this analogy of a fig tree planted in this beautiful vineyard. And what Jesus is actually referring to is Israel. Israel was God's beloved people, His chosen nation. They were a greatly favored nation and set apart for God. God done so many things for them, from taking them out of slavery to conquering surrounding nations, from giving them a land of milk and honey. And it was only right of them to bear fruit. God was looking for that in Israel. The owner of the fig tree came seeking fruit. But this morning, I don't want to talk so much about Israel, but I want to look into the Christian church. I want to look into HOC4. You and I, we all have the truth from God's word. We have been saved by His grace. His Spirit has been given to us and to allow us to walk in His ways. We have been given resources, people, no matter what it is. How great of a responsibility that you and I have. Is it not right for God to expect some fruit from us? Right? Is it not right from God to expect some fruit from us? And on a more personal and within your context here at HOC 4, the sermons that you hear week in, week out, whether it's by Nick or Phil or guest speakers, in a sense, it's manure. You know, it sounds bad, right? But it's manure. Because it helps you grow in your faith. Every time there is a strong encouragement, every time there is a rebuke, every time there is a reminder from Nick or Phil, it's like a shovel loosening the soil. And from all this, you need to ask yourself a question. Are you bearing good fruit? Are you living like Christ Jesus? Are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Are you constantly mourning over your sins and coming before the throne of grace with a humble heart? Let me remind you this morning of the fruits of the Spirit. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you showing kindness to one another? Are you showing self-control when no one is looking? When you are by yourself, holding your phone in the privacy of your bedroom, do you have self-control? Are you showing love to your neighbors? Are you showing patience when your parents tell you to do something? Let us be reminded that God has given us so much by His grace. His mercy has come upon us. And God has every right to see fruit in our lives. The last point to today's sermon is this. We are in debt to God's mercy and the work of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, we are in debt to God's mercy and the work of Jesus Christ. There's a clear picture in this parable. A clear picture of the mercy of God waiting for us. Mercy founded on the life and the work of Jesus on the cross. Jesus has set the ultimate example of his sacrifice in his once for all work on the cross. After completing 3 years of ministry, leading his disciples and showing us the examples of living a life that is pleasing to God, Jesus willingly offered up his life to pay a debt that we could not pay, our sins, our transgressions, our inequities. Jesus, the sinless one, the one who knew no sin but took on sin so that we can be made right with God. Dear friends, for those of you who have not yet placed your faith in Christ Jesus, I encourage you to think about that question this morning. Are you right with God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that God, in his great love and mercy, has come down in Christ Jesus to come and redeem you, to save you from your sins, so that you can live a life of freedom in him? You think going to college brings you freedom? Guess what? If you come before Christ Jesus, that is true freedom. Freedom in the Spirit of God. And not only that, you and I can go directly to God because of the work of Jesus Christ. No more offering up of lamb or goat. It means this, that you and I, we can lay every burden, every pain, every suffering, every anxiety, every depression that we have, our work worries, our relationship, the worries that we have at church, we can bring directly before the King of Kings. We don't need someone to come and take that for us and bring it before God, like in the Old Testament with the high priest. You and I, through the work of Jesus Christ, can directly enter for the throne of grace. So as I conclude this morning, I just want to reinforce these 4 points. The first one is this: the state of our own souls should be our first and foremost concern. Second, Jesus shows us the necessity of repentance. I want to remind you this morning that we need to be repenting daily of the sins that we have committed. Third, if we are given the gift of repentance, then it's only fair if God expects some fruit from us. And fourth, you and I are forever in debt to the mercy of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus tells the people back in the days what's most important. Not to blame it on the disasters, not to blame it on who murdered who, but he wants to make it very clear to us, unless we all repent, we will likewise perish. We will not be in the kingdom of God. Israel had a long period of grace to repent from their sins and come before God, but they still did not bear fruit. However, God is patient and still waiting. God's patience is also for us here at Home of Christ Fall. We have been given so much. All of you have been given so much. Therefore, we need to start bearing fruit. What does that look like? Well, to bear fruit, start doing your daily devotion. Start taking seriously prayer. Start taking seriously Bible reading. Start getting plugged into your community. Start taking seriously youth group on Saturdays, Sunday schools, coming to church on time. As we do this as a community, that's when we start bearing fruit. That's when we are able to practice the fruits of the Spirit: patience, love, self-control. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you remind us, O God, of your rich grace and mercy through Christ Jesus, and how you are patiently waiting for us to return to you. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who continually chases us down. Lord, we pray that for those of us who have not yet repented of our ways, to humbly come before the throne of grace, to repent of our sins, and Lord, to come and confess them to you and lay every sin before you. Lord, I pray for those who are not yet bearing any fruit. Lord, may your Spirit continue to work in them. Lord, that they may be reminded this morning of how patiently you wait for them. Lord, help them by the power of your Spirit to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, we know that you love us so much. How can we ever repay what you have done for us? Lord, use us, O God, in whatever capacity that you seem fit. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.